Hello, this is Tofu Dave on another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on your community radio station, WCOM-LP Chapel Hill, and Carborough. Today I'm pleased to have with me the author of a new book, Black Cloud Rising, David Wright Falade. Welcome to Between the Covers. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And thanks to your audience for tuning in.
Listen, this is a book that really will resonate in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, as both a university town and a rich history that's right nearby to where your book takes place. And I'll tell you what, David, I'm not going to try to characterize Black Cloud Rising. I'm going to let you tell our listeners what the book is about and where it takes place, and what the North Carolina connection is here.
So the origins of the book lie in my first book, Fire on the Beach, which is about the early life-saving service. And so it's very much an Outer Banks book. It's about the Piatan life-saving, Fire on the Beach is about the Piatan life-saving station and its first keeper, Richard Etheridge. In doing that research, I learned that Etheridge had been a soldier during the Civil War. He was born a slave, but when the Civil War came to the Outer Banks, he joined the Union Army. He ended up stationed in Tidewater, Virginia. And one of his unit's first assignments, this was at the time when there was a national debate about not just enlisting blacks in the Union Army, but if one did, whether, you know, they would allow them to fight. And the commander of Etheridge's unit was a one-armed abolitionist who was super appropriately named Edward Wild. And he was very much for arming his troops. And so what he did is he took his unit. They were informally called the African Brigade. And he marched them back into Northeast North Carolina to take on the Confederate guerrillas who were still keeping the fight alive there. So Black Cloud Rising is the story of that 3-week excursion. At the same time, though, and I always feel like I have to underline this, because it's interesting to me, at least in part. It's on the one hand, this Civil War story that I think, you know, resonates on some level, I hope. I think it's important anyway. But it's also Richard Etheridge was very likely his master's son. In doing the nonfiction research for Fire on the Beach, everything pointed in that way, but I couldn't really prove it. And that raises all kinds of interesting questions to me, especially in the Outer Banks, which, you know, in the 1860 census, I think the population of the Outer Banks from, you know, sort of where the bridge is now in the north all the way down to Hatteras was about 2,000, 3,000 people, about 2,000. And about a quarter, 500 were black. It was a really small, tight-knit community. And in a place like that, Roanoke Island, Manio, where Manio is now, about 500 people, those close quarters to be that intimately related under a slave system. I just wanted to sort of explore that. So I give that as a problem that the soldier Richard Etheridge is confronting. He's returning home to confront his father on some level.
The book is so interesting. Again, Black Cloud Rising, David Wright Falade. And in your map, the troops go down from Virginia, down to Elizabeth City, out to Shiloh, and then further to the coast, that whole area, which is still, in a way, many ways, I would imagine, the way it was. I mean, it's underpopulated. There's all sorts of cultural gaps and forward and backwards are very complex. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, the characters in your book are so riveting. You really made them real people. There's Captain Wild, the one-armed abolitionist. There's sort of the main figure of the book, Etheridge, a sergeant who's leading his men in the African brigades and trying to steal them and to prove that they're men, that they can fight and they will fight. And then we have another character, sort of the Paul Revere, aptly named Revere, who represents maybe the darkest, not sure exactly how to put it, but and I don't want to give away some of the things I want my listeners to read the book, but Revere is sort of the darkest horror in a way behind in the conscience of both the country and Etheridge, spurring him on, but also sort of being the dark side. How much of these characters did you have to create, and are they all in the historical record?
Thank you. Thank you for that compliment. I'm really glad the characters are coming off the page. I was really fortunate in that it's a Civil War story. For former slaves, there isn't a lot of documentation. For Civil War characters, there tends to be. So Wilde, there was a lot of documentation. I could, you know, read his words. Same thing for Colonel Draper, the other white commander. Okay. For the black soldiers, I had to imagine them. Every character in the book is an actual historical figure. I have to, in many instances, I had to sort of imagine their personalities, their characters, but they're actual historical figures, except Revere. I needed Revere for Etheridge to come off the page. I wanted Revere to be the sort of photo negative image of Etheridge. He's also biracial, but had a very, which is to say his former master was his father, but a very different relationship there. And so I felt like the novel needed Richard Etheridge to have that. He's also a sergeant, in a similar position, doing a similar thing, but from a very different place emotionally, sort of with an eye towards vengeance and revenge, rather than Etheridge, who is conflicted about why he's fighting, but is really sort of fighting to
make the country better in a way, not exactly. To destroy it. And that's the tension. Again, the book is Black Cloud Rising. And so the African Brigade, so that part is historical. I mean, that was over 1,000 troops, African-American, marching through the South to free their people. And that comes across very effectively. I also wanted to jump. One of the nice things I think you did, and again, a resonance for Chapel Hill area, is that you do mention in the book, you sort of conclude it, again, without my giving things away, but historically, it is a fact that there was sort of a reversal. We have the Civil War, we have the great gains, and then in the South, we don't have time to get into all the reasons why, but as you say in the book, everything was reversed. And I want to thank you for mentioning the Wilmington riots, which you do mention, and it's very important to us. We have had some books here, including our local author, Tim Tyson, a good friend of our show, who wrote some books about this great reversal, in which basically the gains of emancipation were turned right around. So I want to ask you a provocative question, David Wright, author of Black Cloud Rising. You mentioned the military struggle in the Civil War with the rise of the African brigades. Now we come fast forward way beyond your book, sort of to the 60s, the 70s, the great civil rights struggle of our time, and the Black Lives Matter movement of today. Some would say there are echoes of the past coming forward here. How would you respond or analyze? And I know this isn't your book now, but on community radio, we like to be provocative. How would you analyze what's happening today in light of the past? How does your book resonate for today, in other words?
That's a great question. And I'll try to answer it more briefly than I've answered the other questions. But also to the point, because I think that for me, what I think I'm writing about, what I'm trying to write about, is Americanness and what's being contested from the very beginning, from before America is America, when America is still an English colony. The thing that is being contested is Americanness. In the Constitution, it's not just white men, it's propertied white men, right, who have the vote, who have a voice, therefore. And so the march forward to where we are today is this constant engagement with who is properly an American. And the thing that is clear, but that it was sort of clouded in our history from the very beginning, or at least from 1619, when the first slaves arrive, is the contribution and role that blacks have played in that. And we have moved forward, certainly, from the time that the book is set. And yet we are still having that same conversation. And in our worst times, the Civil War being one, the conversation is a fight, literal fight. With Black Lives Matter, it's still a conversation, but we're in a really strange, precarious time, it seems to me, where violent, I'm not suggesting we're near a civil war, but violence is right there. Violence is a part of our a part of that conversation. So I feel like the analogy I make when I talk about this, I was terrible at math in school, but I remember those sine, cosine curves that do this sort of up and back, but at an upward slant, which is to say we have definitely moved forward, but we take a few steps back and then we end up taking a few steps forward and then we end up taking steps back, all towards progress so far, but to my mind, not as much as I would like.
Well, a good note to end our interview, David Wright Faladé. The book is Black Cloud Rising, Always Forward, Backward Never. Thank you very much, David, for talking with us today on Between the Covers, a literature quickie. We hope to have you back sometime for your next book.
Would love to. Thank you, and thank you to your audience.
All right, again, this is Tofu Dave on WCOM-FM, your community radio station. See you next time for another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie.